Welcome to another life-changing message preached live at Hope City Church. We hope you'll be encouraged and inspired by God's word to live your best life yet. So get ready to hear from God as you enjoy the message.
So I've applied to be on Bear Grylls the Island. And it's a running joke in my house. I've actually got onto the short list. They've asked me just who I am, what, and etc. I think they're quite. I think it's quite a novelty that a minister would apply to go onto it. And it's been. My wife just laughs at me when she sees me, and I tell her I'm getting closer to being on the island. And I don't know if you've seen the show, but it's kind of like a survival show. Bear Grylls drops you off, then he goes back to a 5-star hotel. And then for a month, they give you no food, just a couple of machetes. And it's just so not me. It's unbelievable. And then everyone gets bitten to death by sandflies and by mosquitoes. And if I get one bite of a mosquito, I swell up like a balloon. Like for months. I don't know if you can get an injection for that, but I feel like I'm going to be airlifted off. But I kind of feel like the sense of danger is attracting me. And the sense of extreme survival is attracting me, because my life has been the exact opposite. It's I've got soft hands, not hard hands. I've never touched a live fish before, and I feel like it's a challenge for me to come out from everything familiar and to come totally into unfamiliar territory. That's what's happening in Hope City Church right now. The danger's calling us, and your relationship with Christ is a dangerous liaison, in that no miracles happen inside boats. Miracles happen when you step out from boats. And so can you feel the stirring? Can you feel the stirring of the waters right now? Can you feel that something's happening to you and pushing you out from your comfort zone? And for some in this place, it's a new church that you're thinking, what am I doing? In that small town that you've come from, you were in a church for 10 years or so, and now what on earth is happening? May I suggest it's a move of God. That this is God stirring you up and taking you out of everything familiar, taking you out of everything that identified you as you, and to come into a brand new place of no identity, a brand new place where no one knows who you are. But this is the beginning of a dangerous liaison that's going to take you into a liaison with destiny. That this is the start of something incredible. That between your history and your future is a danger zone. But don't be fooled by the danger. It's actually a destiny zone. And there's a couple of great storms in the New Testament. One is found in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus, after feeding the 5,000, sent the disciples off onto a boat. They met with a huge storm, and then Jesus came along walking on water. And then Peter said, if it's you, ask me to come. And Jesus said, come. And then Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. Jesus Christ wanted him to confront danger. And right now I can feel it in my spirit that God's asking you, stirring you up to come out from the boat. You know, between every move of God in the Bible is a danger zone. Between a 17-year-old shepherd to become king, there's a giant there. Between you stepping out of the boat, walking on water, there's a storm there. Between your wilderness and your land of Canaan, there's a swollen river there. There is danger in between the appointments of God. But we're on our way upwards. We're here to achieve great things from God. And we're not here to stay within danger. We're here to move into destiny. Can you say amen? Let me just say a couple of things about faith. Faith is only ever found in the danger zone. The Bible says the just will live by faith. There's no other currency that heavens deals with but by faith. And faith is only found in the danger zone. That slither of land in between hope and despair, that's where faith's found. And right now you're thinking, gosh, it seems like I could drown any second, I could drown any moment. Yeah, but this is the key to your success. If you can come to the end of yourself, to the end of your insecurities, to the end of your fear, and hold on to God, you can be transformed into a man and a woman of faith. And faith is the currency of heaven. that whenever heaven sees faith, it sees currency, and it opens the door to the treasury of heaven. That God wants you not to drown in the waters, He wants you to walk on water. And in order to do that, you've got to have faith. But faith isn't found just in hope. Faith's not found in the comfort zone. Faith's not found just as a 17-year-old shepherd. Faith's found when you hit the battlefield. Faith's found when you step out in the middle of a storm. That's why your relationship with God is a dangerous liaison. You're on your way to destiny. And in this story, we're going to look at it in Matthew chapter 14. They just fed the 5,000. Now they hit a storm and they're about to have a healing revival in Gennesaret. Now, a lot of people stay in the feeding of the 5,000 because that's an incredible miracle. And they stay in the zone of becoming a one-hit wonder. And they miss out on the Gennesaret. And for everyone in this room, whatever's gone before us in Hope City Church, whatever's gone before us in Hope City Leeds, whatever has gone before us, we're on our way to not where we have been, but to where we will be. And same with each one of you. We've had some great times, had some good times, had some good laughs. We've had some failures and some successes. But now's the time to put all of that away because we're heading toward our healing revival. We're heading toward the next move of God. The next move of God. And as I've always said, the next move of God starts with the next you. The next you is a man or a woman of faith. And so God's intention isn't for you to drown. God's intention is for you to walk on water. But you know, the huge secret in the story is found just in one verse. We're going to start with that in Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And this is what it says. Immediately, this is after feeding the 5,000, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. So immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd and caught up with them later. The three key words are to the other. The key four words are to the other side. You can narrow it down to three key words. The other side. That God has already said to you, we are going to the other side. That you're not, your destiny isn't to stop in the middle of your storm. Your destiny is to get to the other side. These disciples weren't there to drown in the middle of the lake. These disciples were sent out to get to the other side. So stop thinking your destiny's trouble. Stop thinking you'll never get out of this place. Stop thinking I'm trapped by the four winds from each direction. The call of God on your life is to get to the other side. Jesus Christ has already purposed success for your life. You're not going to drown. You're not going to end up in terrible circumstances. The storm is there because God wants you to become the next you, a man or a woman of faith, in order to experience the next big thing for your life. The next big thing is a revival in your Gennesaret, and there's something waiting for each one of our lives. And as a church, we sold this building. We'll stay in here for a little bit longer. But the reason why we sold the building is because that's our feeding of the 5,000. That's when the church grew to what it is today, but that's not our future. And in order to receive a future, God's got to take away the present in order to bring in the future. And so many of you now, God's saying, say goodbye to your insecurities. Say goodbye to some of your old friends back in wherever you've come from. Say goodbye to your familiarity. Say goodbye to the fears that you love. Berlin syndrome, you know, the thing that traps you is the thing you start to love. Better the devil you know than the devil you don't know. And you know, there's a challenge now to let go of everything that's gone before you. Both successes and failures, both pleasure and pain, and get ready for the next move of God. Yeah. Don't be perturbed by the storm. The storm is the makings of you because God has said to you, we are going to the other side. Yeah. Can you say amen? Yeah. No, can you truly agree with me? Yeah. Because this message is a declaration message. This message is not a fancy message. It's not hors d'oeuvres. This ain't a French restaurant. This message, if anything, it's an Italian restaurant. Here's the carbs. and you eat up big, because everything starts by declaration of God's word. Everything in creation started with the words, "Let there be light," and there was light. And so I don't mind preaching like this, because this is how God births things. He births things by declaration. So what I'm doing today, you ought to do within your lives. Don't be led by emotion, be led by declaration. And while your emotions are troubled, declare right over the top of it, God's a good God, He's an amazing God. That's what today is about. So don't sort of think, gosh, this guy, he just might be a preacher. No, I'm not a preacher, I'm a lifter. How am I lifting? By the power of declaration. You won't be stuck being a one-hit wonder. You won't be stuck in the storm. You are going to the other side. And the secret to your life is when you walk out of this place, I'm going to the other side. The other side, I'm going to. That's where I'm going, to the other side. Satan says, no, you're not. Say, yes, I am. I'm going to the other side. To the other side. Why? Because Jesus said, hop in your boat. Let's go to the other side. The power of declaration will cause you to thrive in your future destiny. Okay, I'll stop there to get your attention. And just to gather myself and realizing we're making history right now. There's a pivotal point within your life right now. And you think that all hell's breaking loose. This is actually a stitch up from heaven. This storm has been introduced into your life because of faith. Faith loves storms. Faith loves storms. Faith loves impossibility. No miracle in the Bible has ever happened outside of the zone of impossibility. That's why we have first fruits, to take your finances back into impossibility, because that's where miracles are found. None of the 11 in the boat experienced a miracle. The one that stepped out of the boat, it's first fruits, it's students coming to Leeds. They're the ones who experience the miracle of walking on water. It's a dangerous liaison that leads to a liaison with destiny. So come with us on this. All the imagery that you've seen in the last month in the life of Hope City Church comes from Ernest Shackleton. Every time I think of an explorer or think of an adventurer, I think, gosh, I love it. I love to watch adventures. If there's a show on television, a guy crossing Russia or crossing whatever, I'm in on it, because I feel like for 26 years that I've been on an adventure. And for some of you that are into prosperity, cut the word prosperity, replace it with adventure. Adventure means destiny. We're going somewhere. God has to prosper you. God's got to provide for you, but the aim isn't prosperity. The aim is to achieve great destiny for the King of Kings. This is, and you're on the great adventure. He attempted to cross the Antarctic from sea to sea via the South Pole in 1914 when World War I broke out. And disaster struck. His boat called the Endurance got stuck in ice. And so Shackleton thought, let's just stay in the ice for a while until the ice breaks apart. We can then get to the South Pole and then we can achieve a great victory. But instead of the ice breaking apart, his boat broke apart. And so then they went out onto the ice brought their, I've forgotten the name of the boats. What kind of boats are they again? Yeah, lifeboats, lowered the lifeboats. But they slept on the ice for about 2 or 3 months until the ice started to break apart. So they grabbed the lifeboats and they sailed for 5 days, 300 miles to an island called Elephant Island. And then they still had no way of surviving. And so Shackleton took 6 of his men and then he sailed another 600 miles to another island that was a whaling station. And then 4.5 months later, he came back to rescue the remaining seamen. It looks like that was a failure, but it was filled with so much adventure, it's become a legendary story today in the history of adventures. It's up there with climbing Everest. It's up there with circumnavigating the world. It's right up there. But this is Shackleton. Somehow he was able to survive against the odds, and it's created a brilliant story. But this is the ad that he supposedly put in the newspaper in order to get the men to join him. It said, men wanted for hazardous journey, low wages, bitter cold, long hours of complete darkness, safe return, doubtful, honor and recognition in the event of success. 5,000 men applied. 5,000 men applied. May I suggest there is a spirit of adventure in you? You probably wouldn't have walked through the doors of this church if it wasn't in you. And now God wants you to stir up the gift that is in you and to come on a Shackleton adventure of discovering new ground and doing new things and achieving fresh destiny for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's probably worth a clap. That's you saying amen right now. To no longer be surrounded by giants, to take your giants down, to no longer be kept in a tiny world of fear, to say no to the past that's kept you small, to say no to the boringness of your yesterday, because your future is beckoning you right now. The one person that needs to break out is you. Stop waiting for someone to pull you out. Jesus Christ is stirring the nest right now, and you need to come out. Come out from yesterday's boredom. Come out from yesterday's safety and come into a dangerous world with the Lord Jesus Christ, because that's where miracles take place. Are you with me? Mm-hmm. So one of the great missionaries of all time is a guy called C.T. Studd, and he was a famous English cricket player, but he decided to go to China and join Hudson Taylor in China, who also is an incredible missionary in the late 1800s. This is what C.T. Studd said. He said, "Some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bells, but I want to run a rescue ship within a yard of hell." I'll say that again, that some want to live within the sound of church or chapel bells, but I want to run a rescue ship within a yard of hell. Ain't that what you're born for? Give me Bear Grylls the island and let me make a difference. And it's the same with each one of you, that somehow you need to make the choice today to be a religious anonymous person or to stand up and be counted and face danger in order to achieve incredible things for God and in order to penetrate hell in order to populate heaven. Your life would be a lot easier if you could just live within the sound of chapel bells. To live within a yard of hell makes life quite complicated, quite difficult, but we're here for complicated, we're here for difficult, because we're here to transform planet Earth with the kingdom of God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's why we're here. That's why we're doing what we're doing. John Wesley, who started the Methodist movement, once said, "Give me 100 preachers who fear nothing but sin, and desire nothing but God, and they alone will shake the gates of hell." He didn't ask for 1,000. He didn't ask for 10,000. He didn't ask for 500,000 in the city of Leeds. He just asked for 100 men, because he had an understanding of 100 men filled with the authority of God can shift this earth like a fulcrum, like hinges. The earth can be changed through 100 people that were willing to declare the gospel with their walk and word. 100 people willing to step out onto the stormy waters. 100 people willing to put aside their compromise, their complacency, and their carelessness. 100 people willing to be led by the Holy Spirit. 100 people willing to enter and to lay down their lives for the kingdom of God. You've got to enter the danger zone to become a danger. So you just need to answer the ad. Say, "I'm responding to it. I'm going to leave nothing behind. I'm a walking dead man. I'm going to lose my life." Because whoever hangs on to their life, they're going to lose it. Whoever loses their life in the great adventure, they're going to gain it. Let me now just adapt the message slightly and say that our courage isn't rooted in luck or fortune. Our courage is rooted in the divinity and in the lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what it says in chapter 14, verse 25 to 27. "Shortly before dawn, Jesus walked out to them walking on the lake." which is a physical impossibility. Try it out sometime. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, it's repeated, they were terrified. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage, it's I, don't be afraid. What Jesus Christ presented to them was Jesus Christ divine. Jesus Christ in the power of God. Jesus Christ as the Lord over all creation that he made. Jesus Christ presented himself as the Lord of lords and the King of kings. He defied gravity with deity. And when Jesus saw that, he said, I want a piece of that. May I suggest your God is too small. And a small God induces fear. A large God induces faith. And you need a revelation, not of a God who sits on a shoreline, but a God who walks on water, who walks on the circle of this earth, who created the heavens and the earth, who created the universe. Jesus Christ, who's the King of every king and the God of every God. Because Peter's ability to walk on water rested entirely upon his faith in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. This is what Psalm 97 verse 1 says. It says, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice and let the distant shores be glad. The Lord reigns. Let the earth, the center of your being, rejoice. Let the distant shores, all the loose ends in your life, all the things you have no control of, let them begin to rejoice because the Lord reigns. Our greatest threat from the enemy is the threat of a small God. And people have been saying in the last couple of months across this nation, in the event of tragedy, in the event of storms, in the event of droughts, in the event of earthquakes, where is your God? It's a complete confrontation to your spirit to reduce the size of your God to be lesser than the gods of this earth. And it's for the church to rise up and say, the Lord reigns. Let the earth rejoice and let the loose ends be glad. My God reigns. He reigns. He's above every other god. He reigns. Let me prove it to you with one simple example recently, because in the Rambles in Barcelona, I don't know if you've ever been to Barcelona, but it's a pretty nice place. And the nicest place in Barcelona is the Rambles. It's just a thoroughfare that goes right down the heart of the city. And it was in the Rambles that a terrorist or a group of terrorists decided to kill people. And so 13 people were killed, plus the terrorists, 20 people on the same day were killed, and over 100 people injured. It was a tragedy in Europe, but it's pretty soon after the tragedy of Manchester at the MEN Arena, and pretty soon after London, after the tragedy on the bridge or the bridges in London. And it can begin to feel, with the threat of the enemy, that Jesus doesn't reign, ISIS reigns. It could feel like governments reign. It could feel like voices reign. But let me pull you into a day before what happened in Barcelona. 24 hours beforehand, 124 miles from Barcelona, in a place called Alcanor, an entire house was destroyed by a butane gas explosion. 20 gas bottles went up in flames and blew a house completely apart. That was the plan A of the terror cell. It wasn't to kill 20 people. It was to kill 200 people. And this is what the newspapers reported, that the bomb maker presumably accidentally detonated the device. This is what the Bible would say, God intervened. God is active because he never stopped being the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. He is the king over ISIS. He's the king over every president. He's the king over every dictator. He's the king over every storm. He's the king over every cyclone. He's the king over every earthquake. Jesus Christ is king. And either he reigns directly or he reigns through his church. But there's no doubt that God reigns and he's holding back disaster. People say, where is your God? He's holding back disaster. He's reducing the amount of disaster on earth. If ISIS had its way, there would be 100 times more deaths than there currently are. If earthquakes had their way, this whole earth could be shaken. Something's holding it back. The greatest complaint Satan has is that he walks with a ball and chain attached to his legs. He has no freedom. It looks like he's free, but he's not free. He's dragging a ball and chain. Satan cannot do what he wants to do. He's restricted by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He can do a bit, and the reason why he can do a bit is so the authority of God's church can rise up a bit. He can do a little bit, but we can do so much with the authority that we have. And if God doesn't rule directly on planet Earth, he rules through the church on planet Earth. And he leaves some other things to show how ridiculous secularism actually is. And he does that by letting things fly back in the face of secular governments to say, you have not got the answers. It's time for you to repent of your wicked ways and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. There's got to be some repercussions on earth. If God controlled everything on earth, everybody would be a robot. God restricts the earth, but he still gives some liberty and license. In order that prayer might work its wonderful works. In order the authority of God might work its wonder. And that people might, in the reflection of their own audacity and pride, might fall at their knees and recognize that they need a Savior. Don't say, where's your God? Psalm 91 says thick clouds surround him. He's a mystery. But righteousness is the foundation of his throne. He's on the throne. He's a mystery at times, blowing up houses to prevent major catastrophes on earth. May I suggest if someone says, where is your God? May I suggest if they outline tragedies on earth, it would not be fair to God not to outline successes on earth. And the person who's questioning you is alive and well. Obviously, they're not dead. So if you're going to curse God for badness, you're going to have to thank God for goodness. And I would say it's an unequal equation. God's goodness on the earth outweighs the badness of evil 1,000 to 1. We're living in times where Jesus Christ rocks. So whatever secularism starts to teach in schools and whatever ISIS says to itself, Jesus Christ rocks. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. I got saved in 1980 when the New Age movement was just so strong, saying there's not just one way to Christ. There's 1,000 ways to Christ. And I got saved when evolution was super strong, you know, trying to defeat and trying to down creation and trying to down this place wasn't created by God. Dave Gilpin got saved in the midst of that blackness, which goes to show that anything can happen today. The great revivals can come out of the current blackness of our society, current darkness of our society. Great revivals can come, and I would suggest they're about to come. Because you've decided to declare the Lord reigns. You've just made a decision to turn off the BBC News. To stop reading Saturday's Daily Mail, which would be a great advantage to you. Stop glancing at the sun. Stop listening to the doomsayers. Change your friendship network. Because your future depends on your revelation of the Lordship of Christ. Jesus walks on water. He's the king out of all the gods of this earth. He's the God of
all the gods. He's the king of all the kings. He raises up presidents, then overnight, blows them down. He raises up dictators of North Korea, and then within an hour, he's gone. How does that happen? How did North Africa suddenly change regime almost? It's the power of God. I'll just say, when God wants to raise you up, no demon can stop you. No angel can stop you. No pastor can stop you. No government can stop you. Theresa May does not hold the power over this nation. Your God does. And the Bible says, simply put a smile on your face. I've got to pull it in, right? This is just what it says in verse 3 to 6. I just need to read this. It says, fire goes before him, consumes his foes on every side. He allows secularism to show off for a bit in all of its evil. And then is shaken by the hugest revival this nation has ever seen in its entire history. His lightning lights up the world. Truth is going to flash across our world for all to see. The earth sees and trembles. The mountains melt like wax before the Lord of all the earth. They might look the same, but your mountain an hour ago was higher than it is an hour later. Every one of your troubles are less. Every bit of resistance and every mountain and every giant has melted in your last hour of faith-filled, faithful living. It might be slow, but it's certain. Put a heat to wax, and it cannot stand against it. It says, meanwhile, the heavens proclaim his righteousness, and all the people his glory. I'll wrap this up without looking at my notes, but this world does actually need a few extremists. Extremists for love, not hate. And this idea of Islamic religion being moderated is fair enough, because the Quran holds a lot of things that are totally destructive to the community of mankind. But the idea of the church being moderated, why would you hold the answer to the world? Why wouldn't you rage with the forgiveness and love of the Lord Jesus Christ? Why wouldn't you be an extremist for Jesus Christ, forgiving and loving and empowering and believing and changing and being generous on every occasion? Why wouldn't you be extreme in love, in goodness, in forgiveness, in joy, in peace? Why wouldn't you be an extremist in obedience to your Lord Jesus Christ? It's the answer to this world. Isn't the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I'll just finish by my favorite verse probably in the Bible at the moment is Romans chapter 16, verse 20, and it just says this. It says, the God of peace will crush the head of Satan under your feet shortly. Give it a little bit of time, because the God of peace is not a weak God. Peace is like a military force that encamps around something to protect it. But that God who encamps around us, the God of peace, will crush, destined from Genesis chapter 1, but it's a prophecy over your life, the head of Satan, his strategies and everything he's trying out on our generation, the next generation, shall be crushed under your feet shortly. Well, I can't think of a greater promise that storm is going to go, you're going to meet your Gennesaret of healing, something's going to happen in your life if you bring out the declaration, he's king. Stop your moaning, stop your complaining, stand up and be counted, because every place where you put your foot, God's going to give to you. Every place where you place your foot, God's going to give to you.
This is the time for the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ. You just pull it in 1 second, right? And say, before all that happened in Jesus Christ's life, he took some time out. Went up onto a mountaintop. Had a bit of time in the presence of his Heavenly Father. I just think some of you could just do with recalibrating your life. And instead of racing through Freshers Week, instead of racing through the turmoil of what's happening, just pull out, get your head together, get your spirit together. Start meditating on the promises of God again. Then launch out and you'll find the ability to walk on.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We'd love to hear how God is working in your life through this ministry. If you've got a story to share, email us at mybestlife@hopecitychurch.tv. And why not join us this weekend for one of our weekend services? For details of a service near you or for more information about Hope City Church, visit us online at hopecitychurch.tv. See you next time.